This is Vatican Radio. The Year of Mercy may be coming to an end in the next few weeks, but for the past year, the faithful of the Archdiocese of Brisbane, Australia, have been journeying together and heeding Pope Francis' call to delve more deeply into the mystery of God's mercy. I, Lydia O'Kane, spoke to Archbishop Mark Coleridge about the initiatives that have been organised in the Archdiocese to celebrate the year.
It certainly has struck a very powerful chord in many, many hearts here in a way that surprised me a little, I have to confess, but I'm delighted. We've had a lot of years of this and that, and I thought we might be kind of yeared out. But it hasn't turned out to be like this at all, because somehow this year, and I think it's got to do with Pope Francis, has spoken a kind of idiom that people understand, all kinds of people. They understand the language and the gestures of mercy. And it's one of the most striking things, I think, about Pope Francis is that both in word and gesture, he communicates in a way that people do understand. And I think that's been very striking through this year of mercy here. So here in Brisbane, we've had really a merciful orgy of initiatives and activities, and I think only God would see and assess the year as a whole. I mean, I see a great deal of it, but some of the initiatives that really did strike a chord and prove quite powerful, and one of their strengths with many of these things is that they were simple. Like, we identified 7 churches which we called mercy seats. And these were pilgrimage churches around the diocese. The territory of the Archdiocese of Brisbane is very large. So we had 7 churches, and each of these churches had a door of mercy, and we encouraged groups from parishes to make pilgrimage to these churches and to pray there and to walk through the door of mercy and to celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation and then to have a bit of a picnic or a party afterwards. So it was a combination of prayer and party, all of those things that have gone to make pilgrimage. And that proved to be a very powerful thing around the diocese, those 7 mercy seats and the pilgrimages that accompanied them. I can't give you figures, but many, many of our people from the parishes went on pilgrimage. And the celebration of the Sacrament of Reconciliation was a very important part of that. The sacrament itself has been in trouble in recent times in this part of the world and elsewhere. This was a moment, I think, where we saw something of a resurgence, and that worked very well. We also had a very important pilgrimage centre in our Marian shrine here, a place called Marian Valley, down just in the hinterland of the Gold Coast, as we call it, and that became a particular place of pilgrimage through the month of May, which we made a celebration of Mary, the Mother of Mercy, so that was a very important part of it. We prepared a thing called a Year of Mercy kit, that was sent out to all the parishes and the communities of the diocese, suggestions about opening the door of mercy and all kinds of parish activities, prayer, pilgrimage suggestions, prayers for the year of mercy, information on these pilgrimage churches that I've just mentioned. We also had a number of pilgrim days, 9 of them at our spirituality centre called Santa Teresa out on Moreton Bay, and they proved an extraordinarily popular thing. People, again, hundreds of them from all around the diocese went on pilgrimage out to Santa Teresa, as we call it. The cathedral was a particular place of pilgrimage, and we still have hundreds coming in, and the clergy of the cathedral have been worked to the bone, shriving sin, and again, that's been a wonderful thing. In particular, I think the ethnic communities have responded with great enthusiasm, and that's important for us because in many ways the real spiritual energy in the church in this part of the world is now found in what are called traditionally the ethnic communities. In the past they were treated as kind of exotic satellites. Well, that's no longer true, and I'm trying to bring them more and more to center stage of the Archdiocese, and they understood in a particular way the language and invitation of the Year of Mercy. In our schools too, and we have many, many Catholic schools, they're a very important part of the life of the church here, the schools showed themselves very creative in all kinds of ways. Schools had their own doors of mercy, they went on their own pilgrimages, they built the theme of mercy into the curriculum, particularly looking at the corporal works of mercy and the new corporal work of mercy that Pope Francis has given us. Mercy was woven into the school assemblies and into the school, the social outreach that's very important part of school life these days. So all of that proved to be very powerful in the schools. And so the schools and the parishes, but in the archdiocese generally, we prepared a special Lenten program called Being Lost, Being Found, and that was a great success both in the diocese here but also around Australia. It was taken up by all kinds of groups. We also focused in a particular way upon welcoming and settling refugees. This has been a big challenge and indeed a problem socially for us here in Australia, and has generated a lot of intense debate nationally. But we have had people from places like Iraq and Syria come to this part of the world, and our parishes made a special attempt to welcome and settle them through the Year of Mercy. We also focused upon prisoners. We had a Jubilee of Prisoners, an ecumenical prayer service that I couldn't attend, but I'm told was powerful. And I also decided to assign one of our priests full-time to prison ministry. And the other thing that I did personally was seek to make gestures of reconciliation with a community, a quite high-profile community in this diocese that is known as St. Mary's in Exile. And they are in a state of rupture with the Catholic Church, and that's a very sad story. It shouldn't have come to this, but it has. So last Sunday I met with the community, just as, a gesture that was particularly in tune and in some ways prompted by the Year of Mercy. So, look, that's only a snapshot of what went on in the diocese and is still going on. It seems to have gone very quickly, but it's had an intensity about it, and I've got no doubt it's been a remarkable grace, because it did, with its simplicity, it did strike a chord in all kinds of individuals and communities. So I have a great sense of gratitude to Pope Francis for what he's done. We've seen years come and years go, but this one's been a bit different.
Talking of Pope Francis, I mean, why do you think Pope Francis felt it was so important to have a Year of Mercy at this time?
Well, because I think he wanted to make the point, and it's an important point, that the synod journey is not over once the two synods are over. See, when Pope Francis, back in 2013, convened the two synods, I mean, my first question is, why on earth do we need two? In the past, we've only had one. But slowly, I began to understand what I think is his strategy, and that is to stress that the church is a synodal church all the time. In other words, synods aren't just about some of the bishops some of the time in Rome. The synodality of the church is about all of the church all of the time. So we went on that journey with the first synod and then the second synod, with the long process of fermentation between them. And I understand now that the Year of Mercy was to be, the journey continues. And here in Australia, one of the decisions the bishops took back in May of this year, again the Year of Mercy, was to celebrate a plenary council, a national synod in 2020. And that, again, was really the fruit of this synodal journey. So I think Pope Francis was wanting to say that the synods are over, but the synodal journey continues, and it continues for the whole church. And I've had that very strong sense through this Year of Mercy, and I am now confident that the momentum of the synodal journey will continue in this part of the world to 2020, when we will, I hope, celebrate the Plenary Council, and then way beyond as we embark beyond the Council in the process of implementation. So I think it's all about the synodality of the Church, of which the Pope spoke with remarkable power and eloquence on October the 17th last year at the Synod itself. I think that's the key to understanding the kinds of initiatives he's taken in a thing like the Year of Mercy.
When you look at the situation in the world today, when you look at various conflicts around the world, the migrant crisis in Europe, you also mentioned migrants in Australia there. For some people, how difficult is the concept of mercy? Do you think it can be, sometimes people find it hard to be merciful?
A largely merciless world, it, to a lot of people, it just makes no sense, and it looks like weakness. But, I mean, it's the weakness of the crucified. It's the weakness that is, in fact, strength. So I think we are at a time in the church where, in many ways and in many parts of the world, the church is not the powerful social institution that we once were. It's certainly true in Australia. In that sense, Christendom is well and truly over. And in such a world, we're not going to state our credentials by winning cultural warfare or winning arguments even. I mean, at times we do have to fight, of course, but ultimately, And I think this is one of the things the Pope is saying, that our ultimate credential in the world, the real world in which we live, not some abstract world, but the real world, is mercy. In other words, a merciless church is part of the problem, not part of the answer. But in a merciless world, our ultimate credential is mercy. And mercy, as I've said endlessly through this year in the many talks I've given, because that was another thing, I gave a series of talks in the diocese and that proved to be a success, focusing upon the theme of mercy. One of the things I said is that mercy is a verb. It's all about doing something, and it's not rocket science. And again, Pope Francis has shown that. Some of the gestures where he's enacted mercy very publicly couldn't have been simpler. And when they're done, you think, well, why didn't someone think of that before? Like putting in showers for the homeless. And we've got a, here in Brisbane, even before the Holy Father put showers in for the homeless in the Vatican, we had two young guys from one of our big Catholic schools here. They got a van and they drive around Brisbane, called it Orange Sky Laundry. They drive around Brisbane and all they do is wash the clothes of the homeless. Now, again, that's not rocket science. And I think one of the things that people have come to see through this year of mercy is, in a sense, it's very simple. It doesn't make it easy, but you don't have to fly to some far distant heaven or go to a New Age shop and get caught up in all kinds of pseudo-mystagogy. This is very simple, very practical stuff. And that's what I think the year of mercy has shown, and it's been a powerful thing to show.
We hear mercy, the word mercy, the year mercy, but we hear less of the word repentance. And I was just wondering, can that be problematic? Because surely in order to be merciful, you need to also to repent as well.
You do, but it's all a question of good timing. I think, again, the Pope understands this when he talks about the need to accompany people. Sure, there is at some appropriate point of the journey, not immediate, it's not the first thing that you talk about. If you look at the story of the adulterous woman, it's only right at the end of a long and complex and powerful process that Jesus mentions, repent, go and sin no more. So I think what the Holy Father has been saying, and I agree totally, is you've got to, first of all, get to know people, meet them, culture of encounter, walk with them on the way, listen to them before you say anything. And when the right moment comes and the right relationship has been built, then there can be an appropriate call to repentance. But if you just bash people over the head first up with a call to repentance, you're going to alienate them. And God knows a lot of them are alienated enough already. So I think we need to learn that art of accompaniment, and the capacity to listen as we journey with them on the way, and then when the moment comes to speak our own word in the right way. And that can be a word which calls them to repentance or to something, you know, a greater fullness of life or something other than the discouragement and depression and dispirited life that they may be leading. So, again, we need a new listening for a new language. That's one of the things that I've been saying endlessly through this year of mercy too. We've got to listen to people's stories in all their particularity, and then we might be able to come and speak a new language so that the call to repentance might be phrased or framed differently. But so often it's our language that alienates. It might sound wonderful to us, but a lot of people just don't get it. Whereas you see with Pope Francis, a lot of people do get the kind of language he speaks because it's a different kind of language. It's very simple and down to earth, and yet it's in no way trite.
Well, talking about taking something from the Year of Mercy, my final question to you, what do you think the legacy of this Jubilee year will be? What would you like to see as the legacy of this Jubilee year?
Well, I think it's very hard to say because I think the whole church, and certainly the church in this part of the world, is on a journey that's what I call Abrahamic. In other words, like Abraham, we don't have a road map that shows us the far distance, and we don't have a GPS where the lady tells us where to go and how to get there. But the question is not so much what's going to be the legacy per omnia saeculor saeculorum, but what is the next step? Now, I think some of the legacy of this year of mercy in this part of the world will be quite powerful, but again, it will be quite simple. I would like to think a greater appreciation of the sacrament of reconciliation. That might be a fervent hope, but I very much hope that because it's one of the great gifts. and the gift has been too little appreciated. But through this year, there was a greater sense of it and of its centrality in the life of the church. But also some of these practical gestures and the idea of a church that looks outward and not inward and is prepared to go out, not just to look out, but to actually go out and start doing some of these very simple and practical things. And to do them in a public way too, because traditionally the Catholic Church has spoken the truth in public and negotiated mercy in private. Now that arrangement, which has worked well for a long time, I think doesn't work so well now. And one of the things Pope Francis, I think, is saying, again through the Year of Mercy, is we need to enact mercy publicly, not just do it in private. We continue to do it in private, but we need to enact mercy publicly. And so I think what the Year of Mercy has done for us here is to pose the question of what might it mean for us to enact mercy publicly and therefore to be a different kind of presence in society, not to retire to some private little churchy corner and just talk to each other so that the church becomes a club, but to be a missionary church in a way that is simple, practical and doable and states our ultimate credential, which is the credential called mercy, a mercy which isn't ours, but which is the mercy of God. So I've got no doubt that this Year of Mercy is far more than a flash in the pan. But if you ask me to say what long-term legacy will it leave, I find it hard to say. But I am convinced that the legacy will be deep and strong. In Australia, I would hope that the Plenary Council or the National Synod will be in many ways shaped by the legacy of the Year of Mercy, and we'll have the whole church in this country asking some of the questions that I've posed here. What does it mean in practice for us now to be a merciful church? Do we have to change our structures and our strategies, for instance? Do we have to speak a new language? If so, what? And so on. They're all huge questions for us in Australia, and the questions have been clarified through the Year of Mercy, and we have been well equipped to grapple with those questions as we move along on the road of synod, the journey.